Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church.
I
hate Zencaster.
We could see each other.
Like now we can.
See
this
each
is
other
a new
now.
Thing.
Yeah.
No. So in the old days, I'd be like sitting there. I'd be like scratching my ears and, you know, picking my nose hairs. And now you got to see it all.
And in your pajamas.
You got to go back to Zencaster without the video. I mean, who needs the video? We don't even record the video. And yet you're on video right now. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I want to see your non-black persona, the black clothes persona sort of things you had going on. How many years? How many years did you do the black clothes thing?
Was it like a decade? I just sort of, you know, I've lost.
Was it really?
I think so. I lost weight and I decided that I had some clothes that were smaller. And so I still wear black a lot of time, but I'm, you know, just enjoying expanding my wardrobe a little bit. So.
Nice. Don't judge me. How many pounds are you down from the beginning?
65 pounds since COVID started.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't like talk about it. Here's why I know you just asked me and I answered, but I don't like talk about it because, you know, I've lost weight and gained weight back. So you don't want to be, there's this very famous preacher, you'd know his name, who lost a bunch of weight, who literally wrote a book on it of him thin on the cover. I have a copy of the book of him thin on the cover, gained all the weight back. And like he lost like, I'm guessing 150 pounds. Yeah. And so for me, so don't guess who it is. But I'm just like I'm not going to be that guy. So I have no weight loss advice for you. I'm just trying to be healthy.
All right. So we are going to continue on the little throwback series started.
This is TBT, Throwback Thursdays. Yeah. Do these come out on Thursday? What day of the week does our podcast come out?
Actually, you're right.
It's Thursdays.
They do actually come out on Thursday.
There you go.
Oh man. Okay. So TBT, Throwback Thursday. And what we're going to do is we are going to answer the question again, the question that we answered on episode 3. And here it is. In a context with so few believers, what strategies would you recommend for church planners to expand their network in order to raise financial support?
I have a very easy answer that I don't think everyone's going to like. So I don't know if you said the same thing. Is this like episode 3 back in the day?
This was episode 3.
Yeah, nice. Okay, yeah. Here's my answer. Join a network or a denomination. This question is generally going to be asked by someone who's not connected into a denominational family. So let me give an example of what I did. Buffalo, New York, didn't know a soul. You know, I graduated from college. We moved up there. I was 21. Don and I were both 21 years of age, planted a church among the urban poor, didn't know anybody. So in our denomination, there was an association. So an association associations like a district or a diocese or a region denomination. So my denomination, an association in Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia, had a partnership with the association I was a part of called Frontier. And so I talked to the director of missions, like the district supervisor. He said, yes, we'll help. So I said, so here's what I did. I actually drove down to Georgia and I called all the churches in the association from the associational office, from the district office, because I wanted the caller ID to show up. There wasn't some rando to just call in from somewhere else. And so they get a call from the Stone Mountain Association. And I say, hey, listen, my name's Ed Stetzer, planning a church in the city of Buffalo, New York. We're partnered with the Stone Mountain Association. I know your church is a part of that. And I just wonder if you might have any interest in talking about partnering with a church plant in Buffalo, New York. So now here's the thing. It's somebody who is legitimate. Because pastors get these calls all the time. Who are you? Why would I want to support you? And now church planning is the big thing. So everyone's planning a church. Everyone's looking for money. So, and I still remember. So I came to Christ in the charismatic movement of the Episcopal Church. And my pastor was, he's now the bishop for the Diocese of Central Florida in the Episcopal Church. Evangelical guy, you know, charismatic background. So I even started calling some people back in the old church and they didn't really like that. So I was like, I was planting a church in another denomination and they weren't really keen on that. And later, I think they'd probably be more, I think some people from that church actually supported us, But so I only had two sources of connection, right? Well, three. So one was the church where I came to Christ and was discipled in. That was that Episcopal church, and several people helped there. One was the Baptist church that I was the youth pastor in, and several people helped there. That was from Georgia. And then I would say most of the things that actually were the partners, well, that made like a huge long-term difference were churches, and that came from that connection to that. And there were, it wasn't just Stone Mountain Association, it was an association in Florida called Chipola Association as well. So I think I partnered with those. I partnered with those in both of those cases. And I would say that that connection made the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. That's huge, because it's interesting to think that you went to the office, the associational office. So because of the caller ID. Yep. And I mean, how many years ago was that?
Oh gosh. I'm hoping that I got the church right, because I had that be like, I was 30 years ago. So I think that caller ID then, right? I mean, so I'm looking at it right now. What was caller ID?
But I mean, that would work. Like, that is a great suggestion for today, right? I mean, even today, like, because for now, for you to actually go and partner with your denomination or your network, or I mean, part of it is every time you phone someone or call someone or whatever, or even if you, let's say, translate that to an email, part of it is, you're right. Who is this person? Exactly. How do I know that this isn't phishing, that this isn't a scam, right? So to be able to have that, what I heard from you is the importance of that endorsement.
Yeah, no question. Right? And it's not just, it could be caller ID in this case. And caller ID was invented, it appears, in 1987. This is what I would plan at this church in 1988. So somewhere around there. But I don't remember all details, because I did it later too. So I hope I'm not conflating two times, but I this is not the only time. But calling from their office was a statement of endorsement in and of itself. I would actually say, I'm calling from Larry's office. He was the name of the director of missions, the district supervisor. I said, I'm calling from Larry's office. And it was like, oh, okay, so this is a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
I would say too, there are other ways to legitimize as well. For example, having, I mean, I do this for people sometimes. I don't call me up and ask me to do this if I don't know you. But when I have a church planner that's sending out and wants to church plant, I would then, you know, email and say, hey, want to share with a couple of my pastor friends. And it just gives a legitimacy. That's all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting that endorsement from someone else and leveraging their network is definitely one option. Joining an association or a denomination or a network is definitely another one, to be able to expand your network to raise financial support. Now, when you connect with your particularly network or denomination, you're often connecting with churches that are perhaps outside of your region. Would you recommend church planters to connect with other churches in the city that they're planting, or would that just kind of fall on?
No, I would think so.
Should that just be for networking purposes and not for financial support? Oh,
I
see what you're
saying. I would say a lot of it depends upon like locale. I probably generally would find resistance from like churches near me. Now, I actually made an opposite approach. One of the things that I made a commitment to do is that anyone who locally was planting church, I wanted to be a part of it. We helped plant a vineyard church. We helped plant a charismatic church. We helped plant a Presbyterian, I think it was, church. So I'm, you know, just giving something, you know, giving some money. I just want to bless somebody, you know, what an opportunity to be blessed, to be a blessing. So, but what I would say is, if there are churches of your denomination and network, let's say you're Wesleyan and there's another Wesleyan church on this side of town, that's a win. You know, you can reach out and say, hey, listen, we're planting a church 20 minutes away. Maybe you want to send some resources or even some people to help with that. Even if it's 20 minutes away, you might be able to get some volunteers who could take, you know, 6 months and help us get launched and do childcare and those sorts of things. But yeah, I would for sure.
Yeah. What do you think about a GoFundMe sort of thing these days?
Yeah. GoFundMe seems to, I mean, I guess there's different things that people use, but yeah, for sure. I would say,
something like that.
Very much so. I mean, why would you not want to use something like that? And, you know, I think there are some, most denominations and networks have a variant of that that actually costs money. GoFundMe can take a little bit of extra cash.
That's super helpful. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today and we will get right back into it. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's B-E-L-A-Y solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. Well, this has been good. This has been good. It's so interesting these days, especially being in this COVID/post-COVID reality, when I reflect on many of the church planners that I know, who for some, I mean, their giving was consistent, if not increased, because everyone was digital.
Yeah.
So isn't that crazy? Yeah. Meeting in person. Or, yeah. And then they didn't have a building that they own. So all of a sudden their expenses like just went to like, they didn't have as many expenses because they didn't have to rent out their building. So it's just so interesting in seasons like this for church planters. I mean, this is a great opportunity for you to begin building a reserve, building a rainy day fund, but also putting money towards saying, hey, I mean, God has blessed us in this season. How can we be a blessing to another church planter in light of what's going on right now? So any last words on fundraising and how you would even potentially approach fundraising differently today if you were planting again?
I guess for me, you know, keeping in mind that I didn't do the fundraising successfully by most people's standards at the first church. So, I mean, you know, I got turned down by my denomination to plant the church. You know, I was 21 years old, didn't have a seminary degree, whatever, had a degree in biology and chemistry and two religion courses from a school that was kind of moving away from theological orthodoxy. So I might have been a little anxious myself to fund Ed Stetzer. So for me, you know, but it's interesting because, you know, when the denomination turned me down, the denomination didn't call me. You know, God called me. Now, I know that for some of our Presbyterian or Lutheran friends, that idea doesn't, you know, I get that there's the witness of the community and, you know, and you're not in a free church tradition, but ours is a free church tradition. So denomination turned me down, didn't fund me, didn't have enough funds. So I went up and got a job. So I went to plant a church. I became a contractor, insulation and rehabilitation contractor. And to this day, I occasionally like to break those skills out and you know, insulate a house or something. But what I would say is fundraising doesn't always mean I got to get someone else to pay me to be full time. It can mean that I get a job and I can serve in that role as well. We talk about it a lot through the podcast, but I think that's an important one.
Oh, for sure. And I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's what my last book was on, the premise of the rise of the gig economy, because I mean, that's just the changing reality of where we're at right now, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, the rise of this gig economy and what that means for leadership, what that means for church planting, what that means for all that. I mean, that wasn't a thing.
So, you know, for me, it was, I mean, I didn't have to work, you know, I could to bop in and out of the job. But yeah, gig economy. And it's almost like someone should write a book about that. What's your book called that's written about that? Seven Silver Bullets or?
No, it's not.
What is the name of the book?
Thank you for doing that though. You Are What You Do and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love.
But the title is, you know, everyone's got a creative title, whatever. But really, it's about the gig economy. Explain, this is a shameless plug, but I read it a while back. And it was super helpful. So explain how the gig economy relates to church planning and fundraising.
Yeah, essentially, in a nutshell, what 30 to 40% of the American workforce is getting paid for their time, skills, possessions, or expertise in a part-time or a full-time capacity. So essentially, when you think about, hey, I'm going to be planting a church, and you want to be available during particular hours, before the rise of the gig economy, you had to get a part-time job, right? A full-time job wouldn't necessarily work because especially if you had daytime hours, right? So part of it is you have to get a part-time job with part-time hours, set work schedule and all that stuff. Whereas these days with the gig economy, essentially you can, like if you Ubered, right? If you delivered groceries, if you did, I mean, all that is whenever you want to do it based on the app. There's even, I know people who buy and sell technology. Like I know this one pastor or this one seminary student actually wanting to be a pastor who goes on eBay and he buys cell phones, people's old cell phones that they're trying to get rid of because they just signed a new contract. No. And he refurbs them and sells them, and that's how he's paying for his school, right? So, I mean, there's so many ways these days with the gig economy that you don't need to be tied to a schedule and tied to a desk, but be free to minister and to plant and to, just to be a blessing into your neighborhood, but also not 100% rely on outside
fundraising. Yeah, we got an article that Daniel wrote in January 2020, right before the world came crashing down, called The Gig Economy and Leadership of the Church. We'll put that in the show notes as well. It refers to his book as well. You'll want to check that out.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.